If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua and chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. I thank God for who our God is and that He's got all things under control. I thank God that we have such a hope that we can share with people like this girl in Cambodia. I mean, her life has been bad. I mean, her life here on this earth has been bad. By grace, it appears that she has a better future to look forward to, even in this earthly life, that things that began bad might not always be bad upon this earth. And I hope that's the case for her. But we have such a wonderful promise from God that even if our entire earthly life is bad, and that is possible in this world, there are some people raised in some countries that there's very little life in this world that they have to look forward to. But because of Jesus Christ, there's a future that is eternal. They may have 50 years or 60 years or 70 years of painful difficulty in this world, and that does happen. It is possible, but thank God they have forever and ever and ever and ever to have a life full of joy with no sorrow, no sadness, no sickness, no pain, no heartache, forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm going to tell you, folks, God's going to make everything okay. And for those who are cruel and hateful like this girl's uncle and like her dad, if they come to repentance and faith, their past can be forgiven and they can have a brand new life. But if their past is not forgiven, if they never come to faith in Jesus Christ, then the justice of God is going to prevail. And so people spend all of their earthly life either treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. People that are not saved spend all of their earthly life making hell worse for themselves. And those of us who know Jesus Christ, we spend all of our life making heaven even more rich for our eternal glory. God is just, and heaven and hell are going to make everything in this life just. God is going to pay back for our sins, and God is going to reward us for our obedience, and that's the promise of the Word of God. And so thank God, amen. Thank God that those of us who are saved, our sins are forgiven, they're washed away. There's no condemnation for us, and God is going to bless us for our earthly life forever and ever and forever and ever, and we're going to have the most unimaginable, unexplainable life filled with joy forever and ever, and that's what God offers us. But for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, their life is going to be filled with misery that is unimaginable, unexplainable, impossible to exaggerate the horrors of hell. We need to make sure we belong to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, for children of God, let's look in Joshua chapter 7. Actually, there are two verses in chapter 6 I want to read first of all. Do you remember the last time I preached, which was before homecoming, but the last time I preached from Joshua chapter 6. And the children of Israel had marched around the city of Jericho 6 straight days. And then on the 7th day, they marched around the city of Jericho 7 times on that day. And then God brought down the walls of Jericho, and every single person in Jericho, every single person in Jericho, except Rahab and her family, suffered the wrath of God, the judgment of God was poured out on the city of Jericho. Every person in the city of Jericho died that day. When everyone died that day, then there was the spoils of the war. There was gold, there was silver, there was iron, there was bronze, there was clothing, there was jewelry, there was money. All of the city of Jericho and everything in it was left behind because everybody there had passed away. But this is what God told the children of Israel about the things that were left in the city of Jericho. Verse 17 and 18 of chapter 6. In these verses, he says, the city shall be under the ban. It and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, this is what God was telling them about their victory. But as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and bring trouble on it. God said to the children of Israel, when you defeat Jericho, and when there's gold and there's silver and there's money and clothes and jewelries lying everywhere, do not take any of it for yourself. Do not take any of it for yourself. A very clear command from God. Just don't do it. But then we come to chapter 7. The Bible says, but the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. One person out of the entire nation of Israel had disobeyed God. Now, that's just this kind of mind-blowing when you consider the temptation that all of them had. Every person in all of Israel had the same temptation. There was money, there was gold, there was silver, there were all kinds of priceless artifacts laying everywhere. They were right in front of everybody. They even had to pick up the gold and the silver and the valuable things and take them into the house of God, the treasury of the house of God. They had to handle them, but they could not keep any of it for themselves. And out of the entire nation, only one person disobeyed God. But that one person disobeying God caused the anger of the Lord to burn against the sons of Israel. God got red hot angry at the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Ai was the next place that they were to conquer. It was the next town that was to be part of the conquest of the promised land. Much smaller, much more insignificant than Jericho was to be. But Joshua sent men over to Jericho, from Jericho over to Ai to kind of spy it out. It is near Bethaven, east of Bethel. And he said to them, go up and spy out the land. So the men went up and spied out Ai. They returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few. Now, the spies have come back and told Joshua, look, this place is easy, it's simple, it's not going to be difficult, there's not a big army there, it's nothing like Jericho. 2,000 people from our army can go over there, take care of the whole thing. Oh, well, you know, if you'd be more comfortable, we'll send 2,000 is plenty, but 3,000 is more than enough. We'll send 3,000. So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. When the battle commenced, they started getting whooped. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent, so the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. Both he and the elders of Israel, they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, now Joshua had gone to the right place with his problem, but he went there with some wrong thinking. Now folks, I'm going to tell you, When trouble comes, when we're in over our head, when we're failing, when we're drowning, whatever we might call it, there we need to go to God, amen? And Joshua went to the right person, but he really went there with some wrong thinking. But I'm going to tell you, it's always good to go to the right person, even with wrong thinking, because he can correct your thinking. And that's what was about to happen. Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan, only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites?" Now, there's some wrong thinking. "To destroy us? If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan, only if we had just stayed where we were." I mean, Joshua, it's hard to imagine Joshua, the man of God, Joshua, the one who led them in the victory at Jericho. A problem has come up, and he's beginning to think God might be the problem. That's kind of like we are when we don't get what we want, or when things don't go like we think it should, or when we face a problem. We begin to think that maybe God's the problem. Folks, I'm telling you, God's never a problem. Now, God may be a problem to us when we're wanting to live in sin, but God is not at fault for our sin. God's not at fault for our failure. God is not at fault for the judgment of God that comes against us. And God is the answer. But anyhow, Joshua went to the right place, even though he had some wrong thinking. He said, "O Lord, what can I say, since Israel has turned their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, for they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" And folks, you don't have to worry about what God will do. God will take care of himself. Amen? So the Lord said to Joshua, "Rise up. Why is it that you've fallen on your face?" Now, that was a rebuke from God. Joshua's wallowing down there, and, "Oh, look at what's happened to us. Bless us and poor us. And God, why in the world did you leave us like this?" And God just said, "Joshua, get up. I'm going to tell you something." And so Joshua gets up, and then God just says, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst." Now we see where the problem really lies. The problem wasn't with God. The problem was with someone's sin. someone had violated the command of God. Someone was doing something God told them not to do. And Joshua should have, instead of finding fault with God, Joshua should have immediately wondered, what has happened? And he should have probably wondered, who had sinned? And he should have approached God differently, but he didn't. But God had a way of getting to the facts, and God was going to do that. But here's the truth. Because of Achan's sin, the Bible says that God would not be any more with them unless they repented of their sin. God. Now, God is omniscient, right? I didn't hear an answer. God is omniscient, isn't he? What does that mean about God? God's everywhere, right? Omniscient means he knows everything. Omnipresent means what? He is everywhere. God is everywhere. But then he says, I'll not be with you anymore. How could God keep from being with them if he's omnipresent? Well, it just means that God's being with you, well, I started to say physically, but God's spirit. God can be with him in one sense, that his presence is there, but God is not with them in the sense that he's going to be there for them. He was there, but he was not with them. He was close by, but he was not going to care for them. And he wasn't going to visibly manifest his power to them again unless they came to repentance. God, because of Achan's sin, was going to withdraw what we call his manifest presence or his manifest power. God was still all powerful and God was still present, but God was not going to use his presence or his power to help them. I want you to grasp the seriousness of what this verse teaches us. Because of your sin, because of your disobedience, God may very well choose not to be there for you in his presence or his power. Look at verse 13. He says to Joshua, rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. You cannot stand before your enemies. Not anymore. Your enemies are going to win. Your enemies are going to defeat you. You're going to be defeated and discouraged and destroyed from now on unless you repent of your sin. Do you see that? God's the same yesterday and today and forever. And God is saying to you and I, We need to be very careful how we view sin in our lives. We need to be very careful about the attitude that we have toward sin. Achan's attitude toward sin was not very healthy. Achan's attitude toward his sin was, surely God is not going to do anything real serious about my sin. Surely God is not going to see, or surely God won't notice, or surely God won't care. But I can sin against God if I want to, and I can get away with it. My friend, Achan never dreamed that God was going to do what God was about to do, or he wouldn't have done it, I'll assure you. We have the wrong attitude about sin. God said, my manifested presence is not going to be with you. What do you mean, preacher, by manifested presence? When you can see that God was there doing something. God said, oh yeah, I'm omnipotent, I'm omnipresent. I'm going to be there because that's who I am. But you're not going to see me being there. It's going to be like I wasn't. When your enemies come, when trouble comes, when trials come, when the enemy comes to seek to destroy you, when the enemy comes to devour you, and you look for me, you're not going to find me. I'm not going to show myself. And my power that I can do whatever, my power that I can do anything I want to, my power that can spare you or protect you or keep you, you're not going to see my power. I'm telling you, folks, we need to be able to see God's power. We need to be able to see God's presence. And therefore, we need to obey God so that we don't grieve God and anger God, and God withhold his manifest presence, the visible awareness of the presence of God. Folks, we need the visible awareness of the presence of God. Now, verse 14 says, in the morning, then you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by lot shall come near by families. And so God had devised a way of exposing Achan. And I don't know, I'm sure God didn't march every single person in the tribe of Judah by, and every single person in the tribe of Benjamin to march by, and every single person in the tribe of Manasseh walk them all by, or Ephraim, and make everyone. He probably had a representative or a representative group of all 12 tribes of Israel to march them by. And he marched one tribe by, and then another tribe by, and then another tribe by, and then another tribe by. And probably the last tribe to march by was Judah. And God said, the person that is guilty is from the tribe of Judah. Now, from that tribe, the tribe was divided up into families, not talking about the final singular family, but we're talking about the historical family of some of the tribes. There was like a clan, and these clans were made up of many families. And so when you picked the tribe of Judah, then there were representatives of each of the different clans of the tribe, and then they were to march by, and they marched by one after another, after another, after another, after another. And then they came to the tribe or the clan that Achan was from. Now Achan was sitting there thinking, 12 tribes, and he got the right tribe. And then he marched by I don't know how many families, dozens of families by. And then he came to the right family. And he said, man, they got the tribe right. They got the clan right. And now they got the family right. And then each one of his brothers were marched by. And still yet, he was holding out hope. Still yet, he was holding out hope that one of his brothers, that God would mistake him for one of his brothers. Maybe my oldest brother will, maybe God will get him. Or maybe my middle brother, or maybe my younger brother. But all along, Achan was holding out that God would miss him. God didn't miss him. God picked Achan out of the lineup before Achan ever admitted it. I've always felt like, now I don't have any verse in the Bible to pick, but I've always felt like if Achan, when God said, we're fixing to march the tribes by there, if Achan just said, God, ain't no need doing it. I'm the guilty one. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me, but God, I'm sorry. I think things would have been different. Probably after the clan had got picked. If Achan had just said, God, look, there's no need going any further. I'm guilty. God, I'm the one that sinned. God, I saw these things. I saw this beautiful garment. I saw the gold. I saw the silver. And God, I lusted after it. And God, I just sinned. I think things would have been different. My friend, he never admitted it. Not even when it came down to picking him or one of his brothers. He was still just stubbornly unrepentant. Just stubbornly unrepentant. People, we don't realize that when we sin against God, we bring a lot more people into our sin than we think. A lot more people suffer because of our sin than we think. But Achan was so deceived by Satan that he could have what he wasn't supposed to have, that he could do what he wasn't supposed to do, that he was willing to let anybody else suffer the consequences. Maybe he wouldn't have to. I wonder sometimes when we sin against God, do we really realize that we may be jeopardizing the lives of others? We may be jeopardizing other people by our choice to sin. I know what I want to do. I'm going to do this. I haven't had this chance. I desire to have more money. I desire to have more things. I desire to fill my desire. And I'm going to do it. And it doesn't matter what happened. God had already told them, do not take anything under the ban. Do not do it. And yet Achan did it. God, whether or not it's stealing like Achan did or whatever sin, when God says, do not do this, or maybe God says, do this. Do you think when I preach about loving your neighbor as yourself, do you think when I tell you that God's word, that means God speaking, says that you and I ought to love our neighbors like we love ourselves, When God says, show love to your neighbors like you would show it to yourself, do for your neighbor like you would do for yourself, do you think when God says do that, that God is just saying, hey, this is a good suggestion. I don't really care if you do it or not. It's just a good suggestion. No, my friend. Some people think that when God says, do not kill, God means that. Do not steal, God means that. Do not commit adultery, God means that. And you know, those things, yeah. But what I do, when God says, love your neighbor, I don't really have to do that. Why do we get that opinion? My friend, I'm going to tell you. Doing the things God wants us to do are as important to God as not doing the things that we're not supposed to do. Did you know that God did not say that thou shalt not kill is the second most important commandment in the Word of God? You know that? God didn't say thou shalt not steal is the second most important commandment. God didn't say that thou shalt not commit adultery is the second most important command. God didn't say any of that. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. Next to the command that you should love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God said, there's nothing else more important than this command. And yet we knowingly, willingly, choose not to do something God has told us to do. And that's what Achan had done. He had knowingly and willingly disobeyed God. So God told him to come by the tribes. Verse 15 says, it shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel. He has committed a disgraceful thing in Israel because he transgressed the covenant of God. How he transgressed it was by taking something that God had said, don't take. Jericho was the first city in the cities of the promised land that they were to overcome. Jericho was the first city that was to give the children of Israel victory. It was the first conquest. It was the first battle in the promised land. And God was saying to the children of Israel, the first fruits of all that you gain inside the promised land, the first fruits belong to me. They're mine. Do not take them. It's not yours. Folks, you and I have to learn that God wants us to honor him with the first fruits of what God provides for us. They're not ours. They don't belong to us. God set up the tithe so that you and I would tithe our income to God to show him that it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to him. And so we really need to take that command seriously, but not that command exclusively. God cares about that sin, but God cares about all of our sin. God is just telling us, you and I need to take sin more seriously. Verse 16 says, so Joshua rose up early in the morning, and he brought Israel near by the tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And if you'll just read on, then the family was taken, and then the household was taken, and then out of the household, then Achan was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel. Give praise to him, verse 19. And tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight, then I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. And they were hidden from the eyes of all men. And nobody knew what he had done. Nobody knew what he had done. But God knew. My friend, you can't hide anything from God. There's nothing you and I ever do that is hidden from the eyes of God. And yet, Achan was satisfied that it was hidden from the eyes of men instead of worrying about the fact that it wasn't hidden from the eyes of God. So Joshua sent messengers. They ran to the tent. Behold, it was concealed in his tent with the silver underneath it. And they took them from inside the tent and brought them to Joshua and to all the sons of Israel. And they poured them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver and the mantle and the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him. And they brought them up to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones, and that stands to this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. God did not turn from his anger until the sin had been dealt with. My friend, you and I are not commanded to deal with other people's sins like the children of Israel were commanded by God to deal with other people's sins. But it is clear enough in the Word of God that your sin and my sin, God hates. And God is grieved. And God will deal with our sin. And God is going to deal with our sin until we deal with our sin. Amen? God is going to deal with our sin until we deal with our sin. And how God is going to deal with our sin, God decides. You see, Achan couldn't say to God, "Hey, God, you know, I know I didn't confess. I know I didn't repent. I know I didn't even speak up until you had me red-handed. I know, God, that I was willing to let my brothers suffer in my place if you happened to mistake them for me. But God, I really think you're overdoing this punishment thing. You and I do not get to decide how God's going to punish us. You understand that? When we choose to disobey God, you and I do not get to decide how God's going to punish us. Now, because time is going to get away from us, it's obvious I'm going to have to finish this sermon tonight. But let me talk with you just about something else. When Achan sinned, he wasn't the only one to suffer because of it, was he? Who else suffered because of Achan's sin? His family suffered. Who else? All of Israel suffered, right? The larger family suffered. His children suffered. Doesn't the Bible say that children are not going to be punished for the sins of their parents, nor are their parents going to be suffer for the sins of their children? Right? It does. Achan's children were not punished because of Achan's sin. then why were they burned? I mean, why were they stoned to death and burned? They kept their mouth shut? They did. Folks, when Achan brought that stuff inside the tent, I don't know how they saw it. I don't know if he said, "Hey guys, come look. Come look what your daddy got you. Come look what I brought home." I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he said, "Hey, don't y'all say anything about it, because if you don't say anything about it, I'm going to share this with y'all." But what we do know is that they also conspired with their daddy to keep what he had brought into the tent. So what do you mean, preacher? What I'm saying is, folks, the hypocrisy that Achan lived with, the sin that Achan lived with, corrupted his children. Their father, who was willing to disobey God, had rubbed off on their children. The fact that Achan didn't take God's command seriously also led the children not to take God's command seriously. And because Achan was so willing to participate in disobeying God, his children also were willing to participate in disobeying God. And their father Achan had led them into sin by his choices. You and I need to be very careful that our choices don't lead our children into sin. Folks, sin is very serious with God. God is holy and he hates sin. And when you choose not to obey God the way Achan chose, or the way anybody chooses, or maybe the way you're choosing, when you choose to disobey God, you're so in danger of leading your friends into sin, or leading your family into sin, or leading your children into sin. And that's exactly what Achan did. Now, folks, your children may sin without you leading them there. Amen? It's true. And your children, if they choose to follow you into sin, they're choosing to sin against God, and they are guilty before God. Let me tell you, children, I'm going to tell you, if your mom and daddy sin, it doesn't mean you can. It doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't mean you can blame them. Blaming them, what good is that going to do? We need to have an attitude towards sin. Is I don't need to sin. I don't want to try to see how much sin I can get away with. I want to see how holy I can become in pleasing God. Because sin is dangerous. And Achan sinned. And others followed. And then others. The nation of Israel, they weren't punished for Achan's sin, but they did suffer because of Achan's sin. Folks, we just have a tendency to think that sin is not so bad. But sin is bad. And we're loose when we sin. And what we need to do is, instead of hoping God doesn't find out, or instead of hoping that God doesn't care, or filling our minds with all these wrong things that Achan had going on in his mind, we should fear God. The Bible says the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. And we need to fear sinning against God, and not lead our children into sin. not give our children an example to follow into sin. But where I want to come to tonight is, what about if you have? What if you've knowingly, willingly disobeyed God one way or another, and that's where you are right now? You know there is sin in your life right now. What are you going to do about it? God's going to find it out. I mean, not in the sense he's going to find out about it, because he already knows that. But God is going to find it out in that God's going to deal with it. And you're sitting there hoping, well, maybe I'll get away with it, or maybe it won't be real bad. Maybe God will think it's my brother. That ain't the way to deal with it. You know how to deal with it? When God says, hey, there's sin around here, just go ahead and say, God, I don't know about everybody else. I don't know if I'm the only one guilty, but I know I'm guilty. God, I'm not going to wait for you to go through all the people in the church. I'm just going to tell you right now, God, I'm guilty. And instead of the anger and displeasure and the grief of God hurting the whole church family, why don't you just say, God, I'm guilty of disobeying you. I've chosen my desires above your desires. And God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Instead of waiting till trouble comes to a family member, or trouble comes, Why not just say, God, I'm guilty. And I ask your forgiveness. And deal with it. How do we deal with it? Repentance. God, I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. God, I don't want to continue on the path I'm on. God, I'm guilty. I don't want to continue on the path I'm on. God, I want your forgiveness, and I want your help, and I want your mercy. And my friend, God will forgive you. God will cleanse you. And you put your sin in the past, because that's where it'll be, in the past. Now, what looks like it's going to be next Sunday, I may get tonight, but what looks like maybe next Sunday, after Israel dealt with their sin, after they repented of their sin, what happened? They had been humiliated right against Ai. They had been defeated soundly against Ai. 36 soldiers had died because of their sin. But what happened after they dealt with the sin? After Achan was stoned to death and burned with fire, after his family were stoned to death and burned with fire because of their participation, after the judgment of God fell, what happened next? They went back to Ai, right? They went back to Ai. What happened this time? Well, man, they won big. They won big. What about all the spoils of war at Ai? What about all the gold and the silver and the beautiful clothes and all of the things? What happened to all of them at Ai? God said, you can have it. I want to provide for you. I want to give for you. I care about you. I'm going to provide for you. I do love you. I do want you to have the gifts that I have for you. Don't take what's mine. But I do love you. Do we trust God? Do we trust that God loves us, that God wants to provide for us, that God will give us what God knows is best for us. Do we trust God? Then do what I say, he says. And man, they dealt with their sin, and victory came again. And they were back. Instead of being defeated, they were victors, and they were winners, and they were full of joy, and they were full of happiness, and they were full of blessings again. And what I want to tell you, folks, because some of you won't come back, what I want to tell you is we all fail. We all sin. We don't need to take it lightly. We need to do everything in our power and with God's help not to sin. But when we do sin, we confess our sin to God, ask his forgiveness, and put it in our past. And start living as if God is with us again. Isn't that wonderful? That God's here. That God is willing to take on my enemies for me. Instead of God watching my enemy beat me and defeat me and pull me down, God is standing between me and my enemy, and he's there to protect me. He's there to protect my family. He's there to protect my grandchildren. Because I dealt with sin in my life. I didn't try to hide it. I didn't try to keep it hidden. I confessed it, and I got right with God. And now God's there for me. I want God there for me. There's no sin in my life that is worth God not being there for me. There's no sin. Folks, I'm telling you, there is no sin. There is no desire. There is no disobedience out there anywhere that is worth you saying to God, it's okay with me if you don't come and do battle for me. My friend, you and I need to live our lives doing everything that we can not to sin. Do not listen to the devil's lies. It's okay. God won't judge you. You can get away with it. It's just for a while. You cannot listen to his lies because God decides. And you and I need to, when we sin, we need to come to God for forgiveness and restoration, that God is there with us. And my friend, he will. I love the victory at Ai. That group just beat the fire out of them, sent them running. And the next time they go back and win completely. And God lavishes upon them all of the wealth in the city of Ai. That is the fullness of Christ. God wants to fully provide for you, but he will not fully provide for you when you're choosing sin and you're choosing not to deal with sin, when you're excusing yourself for sin. God is not going to fight your enemies for you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will deliver people from their sin. God, no excuses, no explanations. God, repentance, confession, restoration. God, please help us make the right choices about temptations and desires that want to ruin us. God, we ask you to rescue us from our sins.